Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. As you'll notice from my hands, I do not have any amiibo in my hands. So.
Oh, that's good.
We're 2 weeks strong. I got my 2 weeks chip. Callback. Terrible callback, actually. I remember listening to the start of that episode and thinking, what the hell, Ryan?
I think that pretty much every time you open your mouth.
Yeah, it happens a lot. A lot on this show. Because I just love video games so much. And I finally get to talk about them. I wait all week.
That's not true. So, this week, I jumped back in to Destiny.
You were destined to it, to do that.
Yep. Because it is October. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it's October already. Like, WTF. So I'm super excited. I'm having a lot of fun. I only played for probably like 2-ish hours, give or take. And so I'm sitting there, I'm shooting stuff, and I'm like, oh, I remember the story. And then like I went into a couple of missions, and even though they're on different parts of the map, I didn't kind of realize that the map is like one level. So I thought I loaded the wrong mission because I started in and then I was like, hang on, I just did this. But then I had to go around a different way and I was like, oh, okay. So I got like, I got through 2 missions tonight. So I feel pretty proud of myself. But there were all these like level 40 people down in my level 3 missions. I was like, what are you guys doing?
So, okay, that's an honest like reaction to how Destiny is set up. You got to think of it as like MMO zones in that there is content that takes place in your 3 to 5 quest zone. Not there aren't even zones because like people level 40, it all like evens everything out. So when I'm level 40 shooting level 10 guys, it feels like I'm killing level, not maybe not level 40 guys, but I'm killing enemies that are withstanding damage. It's not just a bullet to the shin and they go down. It's you gotta really like
to be fair, if I took a bullet to the shin, I'd be going down pretty fast.
Yeah, but these are aliens. They have shins. They don't have the normal shins. Like, they have shins, like, on other parts of their bodies. So, like, when you actually shoot them in the human shin, nothing happens. But you find the alien shin under their left armpit and you're set. I don't know how aliens work, but it's interesting because when you zone into a world, you're zoning into the map that contains all kinds of content. And you'll notice there's these things called patrol missions where it's basically like free reign and anybody can go in there, anybody can pick up missions and they can do all the same stuff and you're all playing together and it's normalized. So like if you're doing a patrol that's aimed at level 10 and you're level 10 and I'm level 40, we can do that same content together and have a good time. So it's really cool that way, but it is confusing because you're like, what? I thought, am I going to run into like skulls over here because there's level 40s roaming around? And also the Taken King has added like these mini events that pop up every once in a while. So that's actually bringing a lot of 40s back too.
So is that what, because I got a message on my screen when I was doing my little like decoder mission and it was like a patrol of something somethings are nearby or something. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? So that was probably like a level 40 something. And okay.
Yeah, no. Well, even then, like the level 40s are there to do that content, but you can join in with them. Like it's the mobs are still level around the patrol level. They are a little bit tougher in that bosses will spawn and you'll need the help of other players to actually complete them. But I wouldn't worry about actually doing a bunch of those right now because you're going to get quests at the end of the game basically asking you to do that a bunch of times for different quests. So don't worry about it doing it right now. Just keep progressing through the story. And
I was so confused because like I was going through all my quests and then at first there were like no enemies and there was nobody else. This is the first time I've ever seen anybody else when I've gone like onto a quest. So I just kind of assumed that like, I don't know, maybe the hub worlds were where there was like crossover with real people. Like I didn't kind of realize there could be real people in the zones just because there hasn't been when I've been playing. So when I saw the level 40 person, I was like, is he going to shoot me? Can he shoot me? Is there friendly fire? Are we even friendly? I don't know.
Well, there's no factions. So you don't necessarily, it's all PvE zones. You're there's no dueling, there's no, you know, oh, is that guy gonna gank me? You're always facing AI unless you're in the Crucible where you are facing off against other players. And in right. that case, it's all normalized except for your powers. So if you go in right now with your level 4 or 5 character to the Crucible, you're gonna be fighting people who have a fully souped up Warlock class with the super duper Star Wars lightning.
Who earns?
So don't do that because you'll be frustrated. But I'm glad you're jumping in and doing some missions. And what do you think so far of the story? Are you following it?
Kind of a little bit. So far, it hasn't really told me much of anything because mm-hmm. I haven't actually left Earth yet.
Okay.
So I'm still in like old Russia, I think. And okay. yeah. it's basically just there's some weird smoky stuff that I can't respawn when I go into it for some reason.
The darkness.
I don't understand the whole like darkness thing really. Like I watched the intro when I first started playing Destiny a while ago, with the whatever it was free demo weekend or something.
Oh, so did you actually pick up Destiny? Like, you bought Taken King?
Oh, yeah, no, I bought it. Oh,
okay. Well, hey. Dude,
it's October. I thought I had to. Now I can stop
playing. It's perfect. That's not true. That's not happening. We will get to where I'm at
Destiny. It better not happen because, yeah, everyone was super into it a few weeks ago, and now I bought it, and, yeah, I'll be so mad at you.
Oh, we're gonna play. I think there's an A-Move guild. From what I've been able to discern, so
is like, there?
I will have to all join the A-Move Guild and get on our clan or whatever they call it in this game. So that'll be fun and start to get some groups going. There's been a lot of helpful people on PSN who, funny enough, it takes one game and you just get inundated with friend requests, which is awesome. Everybody should keep doing that and keep saying like, oh, it's so and so big TGI fan. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a good job on that front, but. In terms of the story, it is confusing, and it's not anybody's fault but Bungie's, because what they've done is they've crafted this really cool sci-fi story that you can gather bits and pieces of, but if you don't like really look into it and really read into it and really pay attention to outside services like Bungie.net, you're going to miss out on a lot of cool stuff. Evan, good friend Evan from Australia... He's been playing a lot, and he's been staying up super late to play with us.
Oh, us, cool!
Canadians. He sent me a link to Game Informer, and I'll pop it in the chat, and I'll also pop it in our notes to put on the website. It's a Game Informer article that basically describes the story of Destiny, leading from the pre-Destiny type fiction, including like how we met the Traveler, all that fun stuff, all the way up to the Taken King. So there are spoilers. I wouldn't recommend that you go through it, but
am I the Traveler?
No. See, you're a Guardian.
See, this is what I mean. I'm so confused.
Yeah, and don't worry, I was too. And I just finally got a chance to read through this whole article, and it explains all the characters. The Traveler is the giant ball thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Right.
The Speaker is the weird guy voiced by Bill Nighy. Who you hear from occasionally. He's the only one that can communicate what the Traveler wants. The Traveler has an enemy called the Darkness, which is basically just that
smoke stuff
from Lost. It makes the weird taxi sound.
See, and that was kind of the thing, is mm-hmm. I was like, okay, there's this super cool, like, sci-fi spaceshipy thingy,
uh-huh.
and then there's smoke, which seems really, like, fantasy-like. And I think that's what confused me, is, like, I was expecting, like, I don't know, other aliens or I don't. Yeah, it seemed really odd that was the bad stuff. I guess it's kind of like Twilight Princess-y.
Yeah, I mean, we don't actually know what the darkness is, but the way it manifests itself far from wherever it actually is this dark. Well, it's darkness. It's the absence of light, because the light. This is how hardcore I am now into Destiny, though. I've actually read into it. The light is what the Traveler uses as its power to basically resurrect these Guardians, which are you and I. We were dead at one point for some apparent reason, and we've been resurrected by these ghosts that are powered by light. and hence the light level that you
right,
have.
Right, and see, and this is another thing. They're called ghosts, but they're little robot-y dudes.
Yeah, but they are, like, parts of the Traveler before he or it or she or whatever it is went into basically, like, a stasis mode. It let out these ghosts to find these guardians to protect the last city. So when you're in the tower, you're on the last city of Earth. Humans have basically been wiped out from the galaxy. They exist
by the evil alien dudes,
by the darkness and and the fallen.
Okay. Yeah, so the fallen, I guess, is what I'm talking about when I say the alien dudes.
Yeah, so the fallen is actually interesting. They don't tell you this in the game. They just say, oh my god, look at those alien dudes that sort of look like the Covenant but aren't the Covenant. And that was my reaction. I'm like, all right, it's a Bungie game. I like shooting things in the head. This will be perfect. So they're actually a race that were abandoned by the Traveler when the darkness was chasing after the dark trailer. Damn it. I lost my trailer. Anyways, the Fallen are like... This is why this game is interesting from a story standpoint, but also frustrating, because there's this great sci-fi story that has to be explained to you by Game Informer as opposed to, I don't know, the developers of the game. But the Taken King story really does start to build upon these building blocks and tell the story within the game and make you actually interested in what's happening. It's just unfortunate that the crucial first part of the game isn't telling a proper story. So this Game Informer article will help you along the way, and you can go through it bit by bit, and kind of gather pre-Destiny content. Then once you've finished Destiny, you can go in and it's like, okay, what the hell just happened? And it'll explain what happened.
Yeah, it seems to be separated really nicely. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be very difficult to kind of spoil yourself, because there seems to be, like, a separate page for each thing. Like, page number one is, like, just what's going on, next page, beginnings, and then there's, like, links to, I want to know more about the Traveler, the Darkness, and the Guardians. And then the Last City, the Crucible, the Battle of Twilight Gap, whatever that is. You know, and so it seems to be really grouped, and it seems like it would be difficult to get ahead of yourself, I guess. It seems to all be, because then it's also organized lower down by the expansions to the base game, and by like Taken King stuff. So this is a really great article. I'm going to throw it in the chat room again, just in case people missed it.
Yeah, it explains a whole lot of stuff because, you know, the Vex just sort of show up, and the Cabal also just show up. And these are like other alien races that you'll encounter, or you might have already encountered on your adventures. And they don't explain what they are. They're just like, man, it's gonna suck when you go up against the Cabal that are on Mars. And it's like, well, maybe, you know, aren't you supposed to tell me what's going on so I can be prepared? It's like, nah, you'll be fine, aim for the head. Just turns out you don't have to actually hit them in the head, you want to hit them in the chest. But it's besides the point. Explains it really well. Oh, that's, you don't, like, they mix it up by changing it, like, so the Vex, you don't want to hit them in the head because that makes them stronger, you want to hit them in the big glowing chest jewel.
Okay.
You basically want to hit them in the family jewels, which are, as an alien, located right in the chest area. So
got it. God, this is complicated.
It's really complicated, but it's also kind of interesting when you start to, I don't know, I've been digging it, and understanding it more has actually allowed me to enjoy it more. And just understanding what you're fighting, it takes a game that's just about looting and shooting to a sci-fi, like, if imagine Mass Effect, if that story wasn't told properly and you weren't getting the proper story out of it, and it was just about combat and loot, like, it stops being as good as it actually is, because Mass Effect got a really great story.
Yeah, I'm just, chat room right now is like, oh yeah, every enemy has a different critical damage point, and it's like listing off all the different kinds. I'm like, oh man.
We haven't even talked about the Hive. So you got the Fallen, which are like
this... I just found my first Hive, and there was like a wizard in it or something. Yeah. And I was like,
came from the moon. Well, I mean, so the Fallen are like this, you know, weird. They're literally a fallen race, and you get to learn more about them in the first, in the second expansion, House of Wolves. And the Hive are basically the darkness, the darknesses. How do you?
I had to go in with a flashlight. And I was just like, oh my God, I am totally having Until Dawn flashbacks.
I don't want to spoil it, but there's, and I won't, because there's a really good encounter in The Taken King at the end of a strike that involves a pitch black boss fight. It's,
oh man,
really cool and super awesome. And bring your flashlight, kids.
I got an achievement for something perfect. Bright something for that area. I had my flashlight going, and then there was like four of them in one spot, and then I threw my like whatever glowy purple ball thing was, and it went kaboom and killed like four of them, and I got an achievement, and I was like, booyah,
you did it.
Beat Diablo. Yeah. Randomly in the middle of Destiny.
Yeah, it's the game's a lot of fun, and I don't think people should be if you're jumping in right away and you're having a rough time with the intro story content and are like, ah, this isn't really what I expected, and you've purchased The Taken King, before you stop playing, use your boost to 25, jump into The Taken King content, read the Game Informer article that we've linked, and then you'll really start to see, oh, this is why this is people are raving about this. I mean, Nathan Fillion delivers a classic Bungie, lines with, humor and an interesting sort of setup to events that you're doing. And I don't
know. Who's Nathan Fillion in the game?
He is Cade 6. He's the hunter trainer.
Okay. So and who, okay, so is Destiny, no, I'm a warlock.
Okay.
Is Destiny the game that had Peter Dinklage in it?
Yes.
What role did he play?
He was the ghost. So he was. Oh!
So he's totally gone then. They like redid all his lines and everything because he definitely doesn't sound like him at all.
Yeah, they removed him. And one of the things that really surprised people was that when the expansions came out last year, they were like, well, the ghost doesn't talk. You know, your companion that's with you all the time doesn't say a single word. That's kind of weird. And then you start to put the pieces together and it's like, yeah, Peter Dinklage is busy with movies and Game of Thrones. Like, the last thing he needs to do is go off and record lines for a video game. So, he's not in it anymore. Nolan North's in it, and the ghost talks way more in The Taken King. So that's fantastic.
That's very, very cool. Yeah. I look forward to getting more into it, and I look forward to doing some actual multiplayer content, because up until now, I've just been playing stuff by myself. So, I want to get in and do some stuff. Maybe that's when we can play tomorrow for game night.
I think that'd be good, because every time, and to the folks who are listening, I'm certainly not complaining, because I've been loving the help in Destiny, because there's just so much going on in The Taken King. Every time I pop on, someone's like, we should play, and it's like, yeah, let's play, and then we'll go do like one quest, and he's like, oh, did you know you could go over here and do this? And Evan was showing me around, showing me some things on the Dreadnought, which is the new patrol area, and he showed me this like ruin I can pick up, and I have to log in and charge it every day, and then so now I'm playing every day to charge this ruin, and then at the end of the week you like have a fully charged ruin, and then you could fight a boss and get this super huge chest of really cool loot, and that's just one little facet of all the little things you can log in to do. I've never been a dailies type person, but when the gameplay is this much fun, dailies don't seem like chore.
Yeah, I am really, really enjoying the gameplay, all the first person shooting stuff. Like, it's been a while since I've really gotten into a first person shooter, so the fact that it's mixing MMO type stuff with first person shooter stuff, I'm really, really digging it right now. I had something else to say and I forgot.
Oh, well, I was going to also thank, Evan was helping me, but also Teradel in the chat room was helping me out as well with some patrols and quests and stuff. And it's just so easy to group up and go do quests together. And because of the way they've set up the Taken King to, once you beat the story proper, they just offload a bunch of these, what some would consider grindy quests, but more they're like, okay, you've beat the big baddie. Now let's go mop up the rest of the folks. You know, like, let's go take on, these people are invading our world, and it's not just because you kill the general doesn't mean everybody's going to disappear. So it's really interesting. So Teradell's been helping out. Evan's been helping out. And I think I'm like light 270-something.
Okay, because that reminded me what my question was. So chat room's asking you what light Ryan is. And I'm just like, what light? What the hell? I don't know.
Well, it's like eye level, right?
Okay. Oh, is that the number that keeps changing whenever I change my gear that's in like the top right-hand side of the... Okay, I think I'm 14.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you're just starting out. Light really doesn't become important until you max out your level, because once you max out your level, all the story missions stop going by gating by level, but gating by your light level. And these are all little things that you pick up along the way. Like, you've still got a bit to go before you have to start worrying about the extra fluff, but there is a lot of cool stuff you can do right now to really add to your experience. Like, are you picking up bounties every day from your tracker dude, like the robot in the tower?
No.
Okay. And it's just a great way to get more experience.
I literally just bought it, like...
Okay, well then...
I bought it and I've done two missions and I didn't even know that there was a tracker dude who would give me bounties because I didn't even know what a bounty is.
So was. I think what we'll do is tomorrow for game night, we'll get together with the patrons, we'll throw together some... we'll get like a noob Destiny run and we'll just run around and do like, okay, like here's some cool stuff you can do that just... you know, allows you to level up, like the bounties. You can get a bunch of bounties, pick the ones you know you're going to be able to finish, and then just go do your quests, and those bounties will just complete themselves in the background. Like, say you pick up a bounty to kill 50 hive. Well, it just so happens during the story, you're going to be killing a lot of hive, so you might as well pick up that bounty.
I see.
Yeah, it's like that. It's not like you have to go out of your way to do it. It just, it all runs in the background, and then there's like, what else is there? There's, you can pick up guns from the armsmith or the gunsmith, and they're like test weapons. And they basically say, like, get 5 headshots against Cabal with this gun to basically get a rep up with the gunsmith and some experience. So
rather than doing bounties, like it's just my experience so far has been so straightforward and guided that I haven't really learned a lot of this stuff. Like, I just completed I had a reach level 4 quest, so I completed that when I was in the middle of a mission. And then I had another quest that was, like, do the 2 missions that I went on. Sure. And that's it. The only other quest giver guy who was available to me when I was at the safe central city place, the tower. Yeah, when I was there, was the mailman, and he was like, do you want to boost to level 25? I was like, no.
No, no, you should hold on to that.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I don't know if I want to boost this character, if I want to boost another character, or if I just want to play through all the content and not boost anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, nope, no boost.
Yeah, I think I'm going to boost a Titan, because I have a mid, like almost 20 Warlock, a max level Hunter, but I've never touched a Titan before. And Titans look like fun to touch, so I'm going to probably do that. Just couldn't help myself. Had to get that one out. But yeah, no, and there's so many little things that I don't even know about that I'm discovering every time someone groups up with me, which is awesome, because there's no way you can find out all this stuff without Googling it or looking at Reddits, because people have been playing this game for a year and they're still discovering stuff that's been added with Taken King. So gotta hand it to the TGI crowd who've been joining me and kind of explaining little things that you can do besides just looking at your quest log and saying, oh, I'm gonna go kill things on Mars tonight. So yeah,
very cool. And you've been playing something else super cool ahead of everybody else, and it totally threw me right off because I thought it was going to be available this week, so I went to buy it and it's like pre-order, and I was like, pre-order? I know Ryan was playing this.
Yeah, so I received the Uncharted Collection, I guess, like last week, like right before we did the show, so I didn't have any time to sort of pop it open, but I received it for review. I'm reviewing it for the show. We're gonna talk like some early impressions right now, but I'm hoping to have my review up at least by launch day. So you can look forward to that at gamersinpodcast.com. There'll be tweets, don't you worry. But the Uncharted Collection is a remastering of Uncharted 1, 2, and 3 for your PS4. I'm a huge Uncharted fan, so...
And I've never played Uncharted, so this was something that I was really looking forward to because I've never had a PlayStation. So the ability to play remastered stuff, like, ugh, so excited.
Yeah, and it's an interesting package. Like, the positives, of course, are that they are these great games that hold up really well. Uncharted 1's a little rough just because it is a very early PS3 game, like their first attempt at PS3 development. But it's rough in the sense that you can tell, okay, this game was made almost 10 years ago. And that's not a huge knock against it, because it's still a lot of fun to play. It just doesn't quite have the mechanics that were implemented in Uncharted 2. But that's me, who's played the whole series and then going back to 1. But it doesn't really falter from, like, say, Gears of War, that remastering, where Gears of War was just a game that doesn't really hold up. And they didn't really put a lot of changes into it. So within the Uncharted collection, they've taken improvements from the other two, the whole franchise, and applied it across the board. So in Uncharted 1 on the PS3, you were, like, using motion controls to cross logs and grenades.
Yeah, exactly. So much boo.
Yeah, grenades were, like, you aimed with the controller by holding the button down and then using the motion to kind of, like, do that. And aiming was improved, too. So that's all been stripped out, and it's using mechanics that were introduced in 2 and 3. So that's a big positive. They look great. I have yet to go back to the old Uncharted games. I want to do that before I write the review, because it's hard to tell exactly how much work they've put into it until you've seen them side by side. And I'm picturing it's going to be a big difference.
Yeah, all the Uncharted titles are available, I think, on PlayStation Now.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. You can stream 1, 2, and 3 with the subscription, I think.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, in the collection, there's no multiplayer or co-op for these games. It's all just the single player, which, in my opinion, is the best part of those games. But
I didn't even realize there was multiplayer in Uncharted.
Yeah, they have a deathmatch, and in 2 and 3,
you just all Nathan Drake? So there's just, like, a whole bunch of different Drakes running around?
Well, you can all be Nathan Drake, but they actually did a cool thing where you could play as a bunch of different characters, like villains from the main story, and even your buddies like Elena or other.
So it was kind of like Goldeneye? Where you could just be anyone from the story. That's kind
of
cool.
It was interesting. And of course, they're going to be adding Uncharted 4 to... they're going to have multiplayer for Uncharted 4. And actually, the Uncharted collection gets you multiplayer beta access to Uncharted 4, which I think launches November? I might have that wrong. But yeah, the collection's a lot of fun. I've played through 1. I'm halfway through 2.
And oh my God, really?
Yeah, that's well. They're
is that all you did this weekend?
Yeah, pretty much. That's why the review is running so far behind, because I was like, I don't technically need to get through these games, but there's so much fun, and I kind of want to play through at least a majority of them, and I don't want to skip parts of 2 to get to 3. but I might have to, just to kind of wrap this thing up. But
so how much gameplay is there in Uncharted 1 and 2 then? Are we talking like a 10-hour campaign, 20 hours? Like, how much Uncharted have you played in the last week, Ryan, is what I'm getting at.
I don't know. Like, they feel long. I think they are between 10 and 12-hour campaigns. And I'm playing on hard, so it's not like you can't waltz through it. You've got to you know, shoot your way through things. You're not a bullet sponge. So especially in 1, it can be frustrating with it's a 10-year-old game. They haven't really tweaked the gameplay difficulty, so when you're playing on hard, those headshots take you down pretty quick when you start fighting against shotgun baddies and stuff. So that's no fault of the game. It's more fault.
So I should put it on easy then, is what you're saying?
No, like normal. Like, normal's probably the preferred way to play, but I'm fine with hard.
Look at Ryan being the badass.
Well, I try
hard to... Hard is my normal. Oh, man, that sounded so much worse.
That's why I'm surprised you didn't jump at the chance when I said I played a... I'm trying to watch what I say, and I'm glad you took the effort to jump on that sword.
Whoops.
The only reason I play on hard is because nowadays people do recommend heroic, hard, like that step above normal, as the normal you should play. I don't know if that abides to everybody, but it's worked for me in the past, although I can't think of the last game that I've played where it's like, you should play heroic because heroic's the new normal. Halo did that a lot, actually. but no, I recommend it. It looks really good. It plays really good. I've had no real issues with it. It's a lot of fun to revisit that franchise. And they've done a great job remastering it. But I'll have more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like formed thoughts for the review. But it's definitely a recommendation, especially if you haven't played these games. Because I think you're in for a real treat if you haven't played them before. So check it out.
Awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. And like I said, I thought it was already out. So I'm going to actually end up having to wait until probably, well, not this weekend because it's Canadian Thanksgiving and I'm going to be home in Ontario, but the weekend after maybe.
Yeah. And you know, they are long
games. Or maybe I'll just save it for November.
You could.
I could.
Maybe you could. Yeah. They're longer games, but they shouldn't really be rushed through because I find if you rush through them, then you miss some of the fun moments that happen in that game, because some of the best parts about the Uncharted franchise is the quippy dialogue that Nolan North, speaking of Ghost, he's the main character.
That, and I did know.
Yeah, everybody knows that. That's sort of his jam, but just the dialogue and the acting is, I forgot how great it was. You know, it's really refreshing to go back through those games. So, yeah, check out the Uncharted Collection. The review on the website on launch day, probably Friday. And also pick it up. It's definitely a must-own for PlayStation gamers, especially since there's really not a lot coming out this winter. So why not get three games in one, right?
Yeah, especially for those Canadian prices. Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting your money's worth.
I feel like we should stop harping on that, but every time I go to buy a game, I'm like, ouch.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm trying to remember, like, it doesn't really bother me on, like, the smaller titles, but it's the bigger AAA ones. Like, everyone's like, oh, I gotta play Battlefront. I'm like, I don't know if I can spend $80 on a game that I'm gonna play maybe once or twice, you know? Like, I'm not a big multiplayer guy.
At least you're starting to recognize that about yourself, and you're not just, like, throwing your money away for games that you know that you're not going to play. Like, how many Call of Duties did you have to pick up before you realized that?
For me, it was Pokemon, right? Like, I was the guy who stuck around with Pokemon longer than I should have. And I'm, like, sitting there playing, like, Heart, Silver, Gold, or Diamond, or Emerald, or whatever the hell they're called. And I'm like, oh, well, shit. So, I don't know. Not to harp on, Pokemon's a great game, but, like, eventually with a franchise, you just have to, you know, step away. But this is one of the better remasterings. I thought of a negative that I will definitely include in the review, is that remember how I really loved Rare Replay? One of the main reasons was that they had some of the behind the scenes stuff. You know, they didn't really remaster anything, they just put everything in a collection. But there's no, like, behind the scenes stuff in the Uncharted Collection. They've put a lot of focus into remastering the games, and they did a great job.
Which is kind of a good thing.
Yeah, but I really like behind the scenes stuff. I love it.
And yeah, but you're like a super nerd.
I know. I mean, yeah. So I know. Yeah. I realize I'm in the minority here, but
You're totally the guy that, like, watched the 20 hours of extra footage and the extended editions of Lord of the Rings, aren't you?
Not really. I fell asleep halfway through the first one. I mean, yeah. Man, they just talk about that damn forest for, like, I don't know, like 20 hours. It's like, how leafy green can we describe this leaf? Oh, it's green. No, it's turquoise. I don't know. It's got weird spines on it. Maybe it's, what's another color for green? It's like, that's not a mine.
Emerald?
Sure.
That's not a mine.
That's a forest. Well, no shit. This is why we can't bring you anywhere, dude.
Oh, man.
I'm a terrible nerd. I love behind-the-scenes stuff on video games, but when it comes to movies, just give me my two-hour cut, man. I cannot sit here and watch something for that long.
On that note, we would like to thank our patron of the week this week, which is not in the notes, so I'm going to pick one at random.
Oh, shit.
Sean DeGosa, thank you so much for supporting us over at patreon.com/thegamersin. You make a lot of cool stuff happen, including Gamers In Game Night, which is every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Our topic of the week this week is microtransactions in games. Actually, the game that we spent a lot of tonight talking about, Destiny, is going to add microtransactions to help them offset costs.
Yep.
So, Ryan, do you want to kind of explain what they're going to do? Because I tried reading this article and went, wait, you can emote? Like, oh, I don't even understand.
Yeah. So
I am such a noob in PlayStation that it took me, I had like my mic open on the camera for literally like an hour. And I was just like, I'm just sitting there playing. And then I paused it at one point, and then I noticed that like the little speaker thing next to GIS Gamer kept like going up. And I was like, what the hell? I'm like, I don't even have my mic plugged into my controller. And then I was like, oh, there's a mic on the camera. Oh, no.
I think you're...
It's like,
you're,
I hope I didn't say or do anything stupid.
I don't think they had... Unless you joined a fire team, you should have been fine. Like, you don't broadcast publicly, so you're good. But
that I know of, anyway.
Yeah, that you know of. But no, the D-pad allows you to do emotes. And funny enough, actually, I was in a strike, and this dude just stops. And then he starts pointing to, like, the left into the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? And he's just point. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to wait for the other dude? Like, let's finish this. I got to go on to my next strike. Yeah. And then he starts shooting into the middle of nowhere, and I see a platform. And this is just another illustration of how awesome the Destiny community is. It has nothing to do with microtransactions. But he was pointing out, like, a legendary hidden drop that I needed to get for a quest, and it was the last one I needed. And this guy was just nice enough to shoot into the direction of nowhere and point endlessly. But anyways, emotes. Using the D-pad, you can point, you can sit, and you can dance. And, yeah.
So is that, like, swiping on... Or no, wait, D-pad.
Yeah, with your cross pad, I guess they call it.
Okay, so not the... I was thinking touchpad. So many pads.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of pads to worry about. Yeah, so... and then there was a bit of a dust-up this summer where they said there was going to be exclusive emotes that you could get by buying the collector's edition of The Taken King.
I remember this. Yeah. And I remember being just as confused then.
I'm still confused. And then they offered those as a package for $20 for anybody who wanted to get them. And that was three dances, one for each class. And they're dances.
So
I don't know. But
can you only dance if you have the $20 pack? Or can anybody dance? They're just two different dances.
They're different dances. So everybody starts with a dance, and I think there's a dance for each class, for each sex. So the female warlock dances differently from the female hunter, but I could be wrong. Confusing.
Right.
Emotes. So anyways, that has nothing to do with all this. So they're going to start selling emotes in the sense that they're going to offer these as microtransactions in place of paid DLC. So last year, you could buy the expansion pass for $35, which got you The Dark Below and The House of Wolves, which for most folks was a bit of a disappointment in that it cost a lot of money and you didn't get a lot of the content that you may have wanted. It was spread out thin. It was like a little bit of story, a little bit of PvP, a little bit of raid, all sprinkled into this like $15 package. That always felt like there wasn't enough. But they had to charge you something for it, right? Because it's not a subscription game.
Right.
So what they're doing here is they're saying, okay, we're scratching the paid DLC. We're going to have these, basically this shop, similar to like Guild Wars, where you bought the game and there's no subscription. There's just, it's supplemented by microtransactions. So folks, we'll call them for the purpose of this article, the 1%. They're going to go buy a bunch of emotes in this shop for real money, and us normies who don't need dancing because we're already awesome
and didn't know that you could push buttons on the D-pad in order to dance.
You don't need to pay for, we don't need to pay for our dances. We're fine with OG dancing. It's fine. So we get free story and free, just basically free updates that don't amount to bug fixes and other promised content. We're getting new story, new maps, new everything. And what this allows...
All because people are paying for dances.
emotes, whether those dances are like, you know, a middle finger. Well, sorry. Their dances are a type of emote. Other emotes could be like, maybe you'll sit differently now, or maybe you'll do a you'll flip the bird, or you'll do the weird thing where you move.
Do you really think that they would put something? Actually, you know, I feel like a lot of people would pay for that, the ability to flip somebody off in the game. There's a lot of times where I've just, yeah, I would have used that emote in,
like, maybe like a plah, you know, like that, like a plah. That's an emote.
what would you call that?
I don't know. How do you spell plah? Like shove off, eh, or hoser, you know? What if they had those emotes?
The, like, Canadian emote package?
I'd buy it, you know? So speaking of us buying stuff, they're actually going to be giving what they call, it's silver, I think is what they're calling it, which is the currency you'll be able to buy with real money. They're actually giving free silver to all players to kind of test out the emote shop. So you and I, who have no interest in buying silver, can actually go in there and see, like, oh, let's see what they're actually selling us, and pick up a few and, you know, do our little hoser emote, which we should totally submit that to Bungie and be like, come on.
We should.
So that's basically what they're doing. And in exchange, they're going to try to release new content every month that expands Destiny in ways that would have been normally done by expansions, right?
So what if no one buys the emotes?
And that's the big kicker, right?
Do we still get content even if this just totally flops?
I don't know. I think the game's big enough that it shouldn't flop. Part of the reason why in-app purchases work so well on mobile is because you've got such a large market that are playing your game that you truly only need like 10% of the player base to fund all the other players that are playing. Now, that's not to say there won't be paid content that you'll have to buy. They're basically saying, like, look, you'll only have to give us money, bare minimum, once a year, because they'll support Taken King until fall 2016, in which they'll release Destiny 2.
Okay.
Yeah. It's basically like WoW if expansions came out on time and you could shoot stuff in them.
So. Fair enough.
I think. I might be totally butchering this, but this had me super excited because one of the reasons I was bummed about Destiny is that, like, oh, you can finish the story in, like, 10 hours, and then all I have to look forward to are raids and paid DLC. I don't know, guys. That sounds pretty lame. But now it's like, I'm still playing Taken King. I'm really enjoying it. And I have, you know, more story content to look forward to over the course of the year that'll keep me coming back into Destiny as opposed to having to pay for that content to come back every 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. As long as it doesn't go too, like, mobile gamey, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because I think even Warcraft has gone a little bit too, like, you can do the in-game, or sorry, the real money shop in-game now, which you used to have to go to Battle.net. So, I don't know. I feel like as long as it doesn't start getting like, oh, here's where you pay for stuff, and then, oh, that vendor, oh, no, he's real money, oh, that vendor, no, he's real money, and you have to, like, run, like, all the way back around the back of the building or something to get, like, the in-game currency people. Like, as long as it doesn't get too much like that, and it's not all in your face being like, spend your dollars!
Yeah, I mean,
no flashy Vegas game shows.
I don't think it'll be that bad. Like, they've already announced that there is a vendor that was hotfixed out of the game that's coming back called Tess Everest, who works for the Everest Trading Company. And she will be selling you items that you can only buy with real money currency. And you can earn that currency anywhere else in the game. You just have to buy it. And I think it's more like how World of Warcraft got started with the in-game currency, is that there's a shop and you can buy mounts and pets, totally cosmetic. They've already gone out saying, like, this is only cosmetic stuff. You'll be able to point in funny ways and tell the people to take off. But that's it.
Well, that's good, because, I mean, that's the other thing, is a lot of people, or not a lot of people, sorry, a lot of games, sometimes when they go the microtransaction route or the just paid content, whatever, free-to-play games going to having these transactions in them, like, they offer things like faster XP and, you know, like, movement speed boof. I was going to say boost, and then I was going to say buff, and it ended
up boof. I think we should also submit that as a new term to use for items you buy from tests. It's just like, buy your boof. It doesn't do anything but make you sound funny. I was like, oh, perfect.
Oh, man.
But you mentioned like these items that possibly could break the game, and you know, let's say I could buy an item that increases my chances of getting a exotic engram. Those items actually exist in the game, but you buy them with in-game currency. There's a guy who shows up on the weekends where you can't see his face. It's very Marty Durant, and he opens his cloak and says, "What are you buying?" And he only shows up.
He opens his cloak.
Well, it's like it's a Resident Evil 4 reference. I mean, but he shows up from Friday to Saturday. That's right, Jocelyn. Like, this is how into the game I am. I am logging in at specific times to buy shit from vendors that only show up during specific instances of the game. Mm. So he shows up Friday through Sunday morning, and he's somewhere in the tower randomly. You have to actually go find him. He's got a few spots that I found him in. And you have to... you have to go and you can buy these items called the Three of Coins that increase your drop. So it's really cool that they're offering these items that people are worried about. So these items are already there, but you can purchase them with in-game currency. So I really don't think we have to worry about Bungie doing something like allowing you to buy exotic items with real-world money. Mm.
No so boofs far. Allowed?
No boofs. I mean, maybe... maybe they'll offer some sort of... I'm sure some of the emotes will be completely ridiculous, and they have to be, you know? Like, they have mm-hmm. to be these emotes that people will want to have just because they're just crazy stupid, you know?
Well, I mean, cosmetic stuff works. I bought a hero in Hearthstone to have a different hunter, to play as a hunter chick instead of a hunter dude, as cool as Rexxar was. I mean, I've bought a bazillion either companion pets or mounts in WoW. I'm trying to think of when else I've paid for cosmetic changes. Can you think of a game off the top of your head where you've invested real money for cosmetic stuff?
Like Smite. Smite's a really...
oh my god, Smite. Yeah. How did I totally forget? I'm like, I think there's a game that I play that like has costumes or something.
Yeah, they just released a hero that looks like a flame with boobs. It's like, man, that's a... anyways.
What is wrong with me tonight? Like, holy crap.
Destiny. It's getting into you, man. Like, I knew this was gonna... Destiny's so good. I've actually, like, there's a lot of people that were like me who say, like, it's really disappointed in Bungie's like latest effort with Destiny, and then now that I'm back in, it's a lot of fun. I'm playing at least 1 hour a day to charge my ruin, and then I have to go do other stuff that I want to do once a day, and it's like, it's kind of addicting, especially once you get through all that
stuff. I'm impressed that you're actually in there daily. I think that's pretty cool.
It's a lot of fun, and I could foresee, like, once you get through the story content, hit max level, they start opening up like daily like strikes and daily missions where you're better off doing them with friends, and there's always this like legendary mission that takes a story mission and amps it up with new enemy placements and harder bosses and stuff, and you go in there and experience that story chunk once again, but with buffed enemies or boofed or whatever we want to call it. Laboofed.
And, you know, Laboofed.
They just go around going like,
we're gonna start calling it Shia now.
Yeah.
Shied.
So it's really good, and we're playing on PS4 for those that are interested. But this microtransaction thing isn't a new thing. It's actually in a couple of pretty prestigious games coming out this year. Like Halo 5 is going to have them, which is kind of unheard of. Like, rather than sell you DLC, they are going to sell you what's called rec packs, which is similar to what you could buy in Mass Effect 3. You know, those little booster pack things.
Right. Those were those gave you things for multiplayer, right?
Yeah. So
yeah, right. I remember trying to get rocket launchers.
Yeah, you know, remember, use your missiles, Ryan. It's like, yeah, okay. But I don't want to waste all my cards. But then you had like 150 right,
and
then, of them.
Yeah, so you got, that's how you got new races in some cases and weapons and yeah, okay. I'm slowly remembering. It's been almost a year since I played Mass Effect 3 multiplayer.
And we're coming up on that yearly event once again. But yeah.
I still have an Xbox Live subscription.
I guess I have now one too, because I have an Xbox One for Halo 5. And it's interesting because giving away free DLC helps not split the player base, which is a huge issue for multiplayer games. So with Halo 5, as opposed to selling you content, it's just like, yeah, the new map's out. We put it into priority playlists now and everybody can play it. It's not a problem. But you'll be able to go in there and buy these packs that allow you to deploy. Actually, they've kind of gone above and beyond what Mass Effect offers, and I don't really truly understand the whole gist of it, but their new mode Warzone, you can use those card packs you buy to like place enemy encampments and turrets and stuff like that, and like call in heavy armor. I don't know, it's just really cool, and I'm totally fine with microtransactions supplementing expensive content, you know.
Yeah, so the Halo 5 stuff, mm-hmm. Are they going to be the same sort of thing as Mass Effect, where you can buy them for in-game currency or gold, or gold, in-game currency or gold? Apparently, I just pay for things with gold now. God damn it. In-game currency or real money, are you going to have the option, or is it going to be specific, like these booster things are just for real money?
Halo 5, you'll be able to pay them with in-game squeaks. So you will grind squeaks out. Oh, dear. That sounds terrible.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. So it's the new nickname for grunts. We just call them squeaks now. Anyways, no. In Halo 5, you will actually be able to earn currency in-game through multiplayer matches to buy rec packs. Similar to in Mass Effect, where you would grind credits, and then you could buy, you know, the small, medium, large chest with your, with your gold or credits or whatever the hell they end up calling them. So... I don't know. How do you feel about this whole movement? Like, are you cool with microtransactions? I mean, having played you're playing one of the biggest free-to-play games right now, like with Hearthstone, that does exactly this. Well, actually, I guess they do it.
Yeah,
with
not
cards.
Really, because it's and it's not cosmetic, right? Like, there are cosmetic parts to Hearthstone with the card backs and with the hero skins, but there aren't like
But I mean, they release
buying
new
cards. Yeah, you can do that either with real money or in game gold.
Yeah,
it feels different though. I mean, I guess it is exactly the same though, because you've got a lot, like, well, not a lot, but you've got some people who pay real money for cards. You've got a lot of people who play totally free to play and very casually, and those people that pay for Hearthstone are essentially keeping the game going and making it so they can come out with new sets of cards. So really, it's exactly the same. And I'm totally cool with it in Hearthstone, obviously.
Yeah.
And again, I think it just boils down to how in your face do they get, and can I do the same thing for grinding out whatever your in-game thing is, or is it only available to me if I spend money? If it's only available to me if I spend money, I'm going to start to care if it's something really super cool. So I kind of just bit the bullet in WoW, because a lot of their mounts, like, they often have 50% off sales, and a lot of the mounts are super cool. So I just kind of pay for those. But I feel like, yeah, I probably won't care about emotes in Destiny at all ever. So I don't think that that's something I would pay for. Yeah. I obviously have proven that I pay for skins. I pay to look different, but I don't pay to, I guess, act different is the best way to put that. So
yeah, I mean,
as long as it's not too in your face, because that was my problem with SWTOR. That's why I stopped in playing SWTOR, is because I picked it up when it went free to play, and then it was like literally in your face all the time, telling you all the things you couldn't do because you weren't giving them money, and everything was behind a paywall. So as long as it doesn't go to the SWTOR extreme, I'm cool with it.
Or Elder Scrolls, or, you know, Elder Scrolls suffered.
And actually,
maybe not suffered, but.
Excuse me, I haven't been back into Elder Scrolls since they went free. Wait, ESO is free now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You pay for the game, but you get to play for free.
But you play for free, yeah. So I played when it was still subscription. I played for the first 2 months or so of Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
And then I just totally fell off. So yeah, I haven't actually been back in yet to see what that interface looks like now.
Yeah, I think with Destiny and with Halo, it'll be the same experience we had with games that we actually appreciated, and like with Mass Effect 3, with Dragon Age Inquisition, where it was an option. Like, not in the case of Destiny, where you will have to buy those emotes with real money, but that's just one vendor, and she's not like, hey, listen, I'm so-and-so. You should buy my emotes. Look at me.
You don't know that.
Pshaw. You know, like, what, wouldn't you want to own that? Pshaw.
You don't know that. She could be totally obnoxious and just, like, screaming at you the whole entire time that you're in the tower until you actually buy something from her.
I hope she has one of those signs and she juggles it, and that's one of the dances. I would totally buy that. And you could put whatever you want on the sign, like... Go home fallen, or
you're so PG.
Well,
go home, bad guys. I don't like you.
Yeah, take off, eh?
Yeah,
pshaw. You know, no, man. Yeah, I have faith that Bungie will. They've been nailing Taken King so far. I don't see them fumbling this. I think this is just an opportunity to test it out, and whether they do it for 1 year and then in Destiny 2 they go back to the whole. Just pay us more money for content. I don't know. I think it's fun to see, you know, big companies experimenting with this, because it's got to be tempting for Destiny to be like, nah, just pay us $35 in 2 months and then we'll give you more content. Like, that's tempting for a big company that's owned by Activision, right?
Yeah.
Or has a publishing agreement with Activision, but I don't know. But hey, we got our dance studio from an Activision company.
There you go. Yeah. It only took how many years?
Put it on the box.
So we just wanted to remind you guys about some upcoming TGI events. We have game night tomorrow night, which is Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Possibly playing some Destiny. I don't know. That's up to you guys. So if you want to go over to patreon.com/TGI, then, oh, no, wait, is it TGI or is it the Gamers Inn? It's the Gamers Inn.
We didn't get that
Patreon. Lucky. Yeah, patreon.com/thegamersin. You guys can check out the post and let us know what you want to play. As always, we give preference to our patrons when we play on game night. So we also have the Extra Life charity, which is coming up. November 7th is the official date, but we will be doing our 24-hour stream on the 14th because November 7th unfortunately conflicts with BlizzCon because that was a stupid idea.
Yeah.
So if you go to bit.ly/TGI2015, that is TGI all capitals, you can help donate to our cause. There is myself, Ryan, and James on the team this year. We're really excited. We're streamlining the experience. We are focusing 100% on donations. There's no merch this year, which is making our lives so much easier, and that means that you can just throw all of your dollars straight at the children.
Yep.
I don't recommend throwing dollars at children.
Don't throw
in the street,
heavy dollars.
But if you would like to throw some money our way to help out with our cause, that would be fantastic. We are playing for Children's Miracle Network. I personally am playing for Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto. Ryan, I think you and I usually play for the same hospital. Yeah. I'm not sure who James is playing for.
James is playing probably for I think he's just doing it in general for Children's Miracle Network hospitals, but I believe he's always done one that's local to either where he grew up or where he's working now. Probably Bristol,
right.
I think.
Probably in Bristol, yeah.
We set our goal for this year, 4,000, which is a smidge above what we hit last year. And I mean, come on, I think we can probably.
I think we can do it. Yeah. I think we can do it. I'm excited. Extra Life is fun every single year. We have a great time. We have some really cool guests, play some really cool games. We've got some cool stuff going on. We've got Contender this year that's different. Mm. We've got, what else have we got? I think there's Ark on the map. There's, or on the map, on the schedule.
Yeah, Ark. We're going to do live D&D with Jim and Matt and... Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about live D&D.
It feels like we did that a while ago, and my Marty Durant's kind of getting a little... He needs to come back out. I need to know what happens. I need you guys to know what happens, because it's...
I know. I want to get back into it. I feel like this is partly my fault, because I've just been so damn busy, but...
Well, October's a crapshoot, I think.
Yeah, so I think so.
I'm looking forward to November.
We will. So again, that is November 14th, although Ryan and James will be doing something on the 7th. We're not sure what yet, unless there's been some more planning. I don't know.
No, we'll figure something out. I figure just sometime on the 7th during a time that makes sense for both James and I, that doesn't conflict with anything major happening at BlizzCon, because we want to watch BlizzCon too. Maybe we'll do like a post BlizzCon evening event once that's all done. And it's strictly for those who aren't going to be at BlizzCon.
That won't work because BlizzCon's going to go pretty late because it's Pacific time. So
you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll probably get screwed over by time zones.
We'll probably just go during the Diablo panel.
Yeah. No one pays attention to Diablo anyway.
Oh, sorry. I don't know. I'm trying to think of one game that I wouldn't mind. Maybe StarCraft, because StarCraft will be out like in 3 days, you know, so...
You can't miss Legacy of the Void crap, Ryan.
Yeah, but we're going to be playing that game like 3 days later.
Doesn't matter.
Fine. You know what? We'll sort it out. Maybe they'll be talking about like...
Or you can skip StarCraft and then I'll just fill you in.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the internets are for. Yeah, sorry, Tweeb. No, Diablo is amazing, but if I had to pick one game, we'd miss. But yeah, I don't know.
I can take it or leave it.
we will figure something out, and it will strictly basically be like a sort of primer for our Extra Life proper. Nothing too crazy, not staying up super late, just James and I hanging out, playing games with the for the kids and with a bunch of awesome people, probably. So we'll see.
So again, that's bit.ly/TGI2015. That is all capitals TGI. We look forward to seeing you on the day. We look forward to playing around with everybody and just having a lot of fun for the kids. So check it out and throw some dollars our way if you can. Mm-hmm. So we have an email this week from Brandon. Brendan. Sorry.
All good.
I have a cousin named Brendan, and he gets Brandon all the time, and it makes him, like, so angry.
Someone called me Brian today, and, I mean, I have an uncle Brian, and I'm just used to, like, my name's Ryan. It's like, okay, Brian. It's like, it's Ryan. But I didn't correct them because I felt like that would be rude. So.
Oh, man. So he says, hey there, Ryan and Joss. I recently started listening to the podcast and I'm really enjoying it so far. Keep up the good work. Last episode, you both spoke about how the story of a game is integral to getting you hooked. I recently started playing a fair amount of Kerbal Space Program, interest rekindled following reading The Martian, and was wondering if either of you had ever played. The reason I love it so much is that in any of the three modes, you effectively get to build your own story. Maroon a Kerbal on a planet, make a rescue mission to go get her. Build a space station to collect minerals from a particularly valuable asteroid. Find relics on all of the planets. Anyways, most sandbox games don't do it for me because there just isn't a character to root for, but I find it's different in Kerbal Space Program for some reason. Have fun out there. I tried Kerbal Space Program and I couldn't get into it because it was really, really complicated. There weren't a lot of directions, and then it's sandboxy, so there isn't anything to do. I had the same problem with Minecraft. Minecraft was a little bit easier to get into, but even then I was like, I have an axe, I cut down a tree, now I've got some wood, what now? Like, and I need that story, I need that quest to pull me in and make me keep playing, because there's so many great games out there. And the exception to that rule is something like Smite. But the reason that there's an exception to that is because I play with friends. So I kind of get around that, which I know you can play Minecraft with friends, but I feel like at least in Smite, there's still objectives. Where there aren't really objectives in something like Minecraft, I guess you could say the objective is to, you know, get to the end of the tech tree, which Kerbal Space Program is similar. You're trying to build the best spaceship. That's just not enough for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I find with these sort of open world, open box, make your own fun games, I get lost pretty quickly in the lack of direction.
Mm-hmm.
I am very envious of those that can get into these types of games. So the fact that Brendan's having such a great time, and now that I'm reading The Martian before I go see the movie, I can totally see how Brendan's having a blast just creating these mini stories where he's building a shitty ship and then losing a Kerbal on the moon and then having to build a better ship to get his maroon Kerbal off the planet. Then he basically like crashes and all his Kerbals now live on the moon and then happily ever after. But I don't know. We played Ark and we made our own fun. Like I started a turtle saber tooth fight club. Where you don't
That's
talk
true.
About Sabretooth Turtle Fighting Club. So,
That's true. That I did really enjoy Ark. I wonder why. I don't know. I just couldn't get into Kerbals. And it's funny because James is super into Kerbal Space Program.
Oh, he loves. You check out. He's done a lot of, I think, YouTube stuff with Kerbal Space Program back in the day. But, mm-hmm. He loves Kerbal Space Program.
And the Kerbals are adorable, which They're that's another cool. thing that usually pulls me into a game is how adorable are the cute little characters. And I don't know. I just couldn't get into it. Maybe I just need to give it another shot. Maybe I wasn't in the right mindset. I feel like it was one of those nights where I was looking for something to do. So I was like looking at my Steam library going, okay, what can I play? And so I booted up Kerbal Space Program, not really knowing a lot about it, not being in the right mindset, and just kind of went, dislike, moving on, and I never went back to it again. So I think I need to give it another shot.
Yeah, I think I have it and I never even booted it up, but yeah, maybe I'll give it a shot. Now that I'm reading The Martian, I can maroon my own Kerbal on Mars, so we'll see.
There you go. Yeah. So I think we still have two beta keys to give away for Gigantic.
Yeah.
So again, chat room, if you guys want a code, you have to go to, hang on a second, this website. Mm-hmm. To redeem your code. So if you guys want to play the game, if you want to try it out in beta, let us know in the chat room right now. First two people to say that they want them will get keys. If we still have any left over, you guys can try emailing in if you're listening to the podcast later on the iTunes.
On the iTunes.
On the iTunes.
Get your iTunes player from the Walmart.
God. Yeah. Yeah, so if you guys want to get in and play this, you can email in. If we have codes left, we will give them to you. Otherwise, throw it in the chat room and let us know if you want something. So chat room, yeah,
I need to catch play up. That game.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play yet. Oh, so many games, so little time. But
yeah,
we'll get there eventually. So yeah. If you would like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast Into the Nexus and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AmoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email us and let us know what you think about microtransactions, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Thanks, everybody.
Thought of an emote, the money one. Make it rain.
The wait, what? Hang on, I have to bring the video back. Do it again.
The make it rain emote. I can't take it. Like, that joke's been made, but like the make it glimmer, which glimmer is the currency in the game, just make it glimmer. You lose glimmer every time you use it, but it's worth it. I think that's our better one.
That's a good place to stop. Yeah.